Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Pastor C, we're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get back together. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get back together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., another awesome week that we see the Lord has kept us. So we had some remnants of Hurricane Ida come our way this week, and saw the devastation from the Gulf Coast to the East Coast, and just amazing to see the frailty or the finiteness of man when it comes to the things of this world, and how he has to learn to humble himself before God and ask God for grace and mercy. Because there's some things that he cannot stand up to. And I know it was like, I think it was like Wednesday morning, or I forget what morning it was. It was like the whole sky just lit up for about 2 hours straight. And it was just amazing to see the force of the lightning and the storms. And you know, yesterday we had tornadoes and areas of Maryland and flooding, and I know in New York they had water pouring into the subways and all the devastation down in Louisiana, so much so that the flow of the Tennessee River or the Mississippi River was going the opposite way. And we saw the devastating fires and the one of the famous resorts in the California, and it is amazing how man is not prepared to understand that he will reap
right.
what he sows. And yes. those lessons are sometimes it's brutal to learn. And even with the advent of COVID, how that now the children going back to school, that more and more children are at risk and more children are succumbing to COVID. Again, we reap what we sow. And it's one of those things where hopefully the lessons aren't lessons that are everlasting too late. Shiva G.
Amen. And it's God is trying to tell you something. And if you're not listening, then you're going to lose out. As I was observing the storm, you know, working from home, I'm able to see more as things come. And it was quiet, like you said before. Then the storm came on Wednesday, all that wild lightning, like, well, it was still dark outside. Then it was quiet during the day, and then the storm came again with the tornadoes. And then today, it was cool, and the sky. When I went for my 12 o'clock walk, the sky was just as blue as it could be. And it was just amazing to see the power of God. And people just aren't getting it, that they still think that they can have control. They still think that they can manipulate laws, manipulate rules. I write this, do this, that, and the other. But God is ultimately under control. In fact, one of the schools that was open, a few of the schools ended up getting the roofs ripped off of them. So and then with the COVID, then you have the people going into shelters that are panicking about that because of the destruction of property. So it's really showing, like you said, the finiteness of man, but it's given man the opportunity to turn that life around. God is a merciful God because it shows that if he really wanted to, he could wipe us all off the face of the earth. But he's not. In his infinite love, he's given us time and time again to make that change and go to the other side of peace.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, I agree with both of you. You know, we've been sitting here this week just looking at all of the news reports and everything that's taking place, and you know, I've been sharing with Sheila that God has been trying to get mankind's attention for a while, but we still just don't get it. We just don't see it. We're living our lives and we just deal one day at a time, which is cool. But you need to open your eyes and take a look what's going on around you. You know, you can't prevent some things from happening, but you need to take heed of what the Lord is trying to say.
Amen, amen, and you have a lot of time to reflect when you're sitting around with no power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're sitting around with water up to your attic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
resort. Did you go skiing or vacation is burnt down, and
yeah.
You know, your subway is out of order.
Yeah.
And the street on the way home, where you get home, is flooded, and your kids are stranded on a school bus. You got a lot of time to reflect.
Uh-huh.
Okay, something is up, you know, and people that you knew around the corner down the street, they're no longer alive because of COVID. And,
right.
And, you know, you got baseball team, football team, you know, sports and major companies telling people, well, you can't come work here or you can't come do here without a vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's a time for people to say, okay, we need to get real.
Right.
we need to think, oh, it's just going to go away. We need to really stop and take inventory and say, oh, we done messed up. We need to turn our situation around.
And just not be so dependent on the things of this world. I think that's what God is trying to reach our carnal minds, because we've become very carnal-minded of possessions and things and climbing the corporate ladder or getting over, or as some people say, okay, I want to get this. How can I get the hookup? How can I get what I want for free and style and clothes and... Remember back in the day when people would steal people's jackets and tennis shoes and then, you know,
yeah.
Washington. Yeah. You have the violence that's going on, but, you know, no, we don't want to take away gun rights. And so, and we'd even talked before the pandemic how everybody back in the day, whether it was Christmas and Easter were the days that if you didn't go to church any other day, you would go that mm-hmm. day. But even we were noticing that people weren't even going to worship the Lord's birth and his death, burial, and resurrection. So we lost that first love. And so as if any first love, which is jealous, he tore stuff up. You know, if anybody's had to deal with the jealous spouse, the key to card, burn the bed, whatever, he's like, okay, mm-hmm. you turned away from me. I'm going to do what I need to do to get your attention and pull on one of Ma's messages and say, can you hear me now? But it's up to us to make that choice to hear.
Amen. 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 And, you know, you reflect on so many things, and as we go to the book of Acts where we've been studying, we see that the ministry of God continues even in the midst of great adversity. And we saw last week where Paul and Silas, in spite of being in the middle of jail, in the middle of a situation where they were tied up in the jail with prisoners, and they were being held by a jailer, and they were being heckled by or falsely accused by those that were outside the jail. So they had pressure inside the jail, pressure outside the jail, and it was a thing where it seemed like it was an impossibility for them to be able to be delivered. But we look back at the beginning of Acts 16, where Paul and Silas were given a vision that they needed help, and because of that, they pushed forward in ministry and were able to come up against great odds because the will of the Lord was that they would need help, and there's people in that area needed someone to come and preach the gospel. In order for them to be able to preach the gospel, they had to encounter the financial institution of that time, which was the men that were profiting off of a young lady who was possessed by a demon. And so when they came up against that financial institution, that establishment, the leaders and the rulers of that time, and they began to come against that. And Paul called the spirit out of that young woman who was making them great financial gains. Then they began to get persecuted. But the persecution that man meant for their bad ended up working out for their good. And because God was sending somebody to help, and that was the end of our conversation on last Thursday, God ever sent someone to help. Uh-huh. And, you know, we can flip that around this week. Has God ever sent you to help someone? You know, we can flip that okay. thing around. It works both ways. You know, God has sent someone to help us, but he also uh-huh. sends us to help someone else. And right. and what with this global pandemic, with, you know, the climate change, with, you know, these rules and laws that the courts and people are making, God is sending his remnant, his handful of people, his yeah. ministers, if you will, to go in to help other people, because other people are help. I mean, it's not just spiritual. It's also physical, with people needing help in times of tornadoes and hurricanes and fires and all kind of calamities. What that door does is it opens a door, a window in people's heart, a window in people's yeah. spirit, to be able, for those who are called by God, who are walking by faith, to be able to speak a word mm-hmm. in the midst of all this calamity. And you know, sometimes I think Christians, we get, you know, in a place where, see, I told y'all, you know, that's what's going to happen, you know, y'all deserve that, and that's not the attitude, and it's easy to get into the attitude, but that's not the attitude God wants, because somebody came and helped us when we was without God and without Christ, And so God uses these circumstances of great devastation to the earth and to people's lives and their livelihoods to open a window for us to go and to help and to speak a word. And when Paul and Silas did that in prayer and praise mode in the bottom of a jail, people on the inside got saved, the jailer got saved, his whole house got saved. All of these things were done so that they could help the people that didn't know God, didn't know Jesus in the free pardoning of their sin. Sheila Jean. Oh, must have dropped her. She dropped off. But when she comes back, but what happens is when you understand that, what happens is you don't get it in a selfish mode, but you get in a mode of not my will, but God's will be done. And you get in the will of you have the heart of Christ. You have the heart of God that you want to go and help people, that you want to go and share the good news because you know that is the will of God. The will of God is that none will be lost. And so yeah. we don't say, okay, you know, you guys deserve this or this is what you get. You know, but right. We say that this is the opportunity to say, hey, God is the one that can deliver. God is the one that can turn your situation around. These things are happening so that God will let you know that you need to depend on him. You need to rely on him. Because he is the one that has ultimate control, Sheila Jean.
And that's actually times that we can be ambassadors for Christ. God can use us by helping them, and then that's a way that we can minister to them because it'll flip, go back to that question that we had last week, somebody helping them. And then they can see it as God having mercy on them and sending someone to help them, which in turn will help to draw them closer to Christ. I know that when we were watching at the news yesterday after the tornado came through and there was a man that had left his house, had this big, huge two-car garage home that not only was the roof ripped out, but the inside completely collapsed, including his car. But the neighbors immediately came out and were helping him to do whatever, to check on him and everything. And he said, you know, a house is just a house, but having my neighbors come out and help me makes me realize what really matters. He said, in reference to the house, what comes to mind, and these were his words, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's like on television that he's saying that. But it brought him to say that because he saw the compassion of the neighbors coming to his aid, and he acknowledged what I called like a little God wink, that he went out to work that day. You know, it was kind of like when I went to work, in my mind, it was just going to be another day. But had I stayed home, that house would have fallen right on top of me. So he's like, one, he saw the compassion of Christ, but he also saw the compassion of Christ through others. And he was open enough to acknowledge it on television.
Amen, amen. And what happens is during these great challenges, physical challenges, spiritual challenges, we rely on Christ for the strength. And Paul found that out when he in the book of Romans, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Because it is the power.
Right.
And when he realized that the gospel of Jesus Christ was the power, it turned him completely right. He did a 180. He got to a point where he said, I got it now. It's not me, but it's the God in me that will give me the strength, that will allow me to meet this need right now, and that it will be done for his glory. And when men and women get that, I call it a call. When you get that call, I'm not talking about when. I'm talking about that God said many are called, but few are chosen. But when you have been called and chosen by God to proclaim the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, when you get that Paul moment where you say, oh, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power unto God. To salvation for everyone that believes, and when you understand that there's something on the inside that drives you, that that gives you a strength of faith or assurance in God that in spite of the situation, Lord have mercy, your faith in God, amen, will propel you to go through whatever the situation or the circumstance or the storm is and say, it might be raining right now, but our God controls the rain. It might be a fire right now, but our God controls the fire. It might be a flood right now, but our God can make the waters recede. Lord have mercy. And make you able to walk over the flood on dry land. And when you have that calling, when you have that ability given to you by God, what happens is the will of God, when he said go help somebody, you can go help somebody because you realize it was God up on Calvary's cross, Lord have mercy, that came and helped you. Dr. G, help me out. I'm not going into preach mode tonight.
Well, that's all right. But, you know, I think that that's part of why the Lord is sending so many different things down to help people get to a point. Sheila and I both were sitting there thinking, because I've just been recently diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and it took me about a month to really come to grips with this thing, and the Lord had to sit me down and have a come to Jesus moment to remind me that, you know, this is not the end, this is the beginning. And so after that, then I'm at a point now where, okay, I've changed my diet. There are certain things I don't eat, certain things I will eat. You know, I've lost some pounds. So, you know, I've gotten my mindset that I can still do what the Lord wants. But God has to get our attention in a way that we know that it was nobody but him. And sometimes it's drastic. Sometimes we have to go through what we're going through in this world, because a lot of our people have gotten very complacent. I mean, even to the point where he shut the churches down, so we had to go to Zoom.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Get on and folks just sit there and be quiet. You know, we've gotten complacent. So he's stirring that pot. He's trying to stir their emotions, stir that spirit up a little bit to get folks to understand it's only by my grace that you're able to.
Amen.
Amen. Sheila G.
The amazing thing where you talked about, you know, when you're called and God gives you that faith and that unadulterated faith to go through. That was the amazing thing about watching Pastor G, was because his diabetic diagnosis wasn't because he wasn't feeling well. It was just through regular testing. And then it came out. But God made a way for him to go get the test, similar to the way Dad found out about his cancer, was just through regular screening. But I watched him, as I've watched Pastor G many times before. Yes, emotionally, he was going through, and he was challenged, but as he was going it through emotionally, and he was feeling bad, and he was feeling down and dealing with that demons of wanting him to feel sorry for himself, he kept calling on the Lord. He's like, I feel this way. I don't understand why this has happened. But he would always say, but I'm trusting the Lord. I'm having faith in God. And it put a thing in the household where I was introducing certain things to him that where, for example, you know, he has to drink more water, so I got the sugar-free powder. He would make a face at it because emotionally he was just drained. But by faith, he would step out and he would drink it, and he was like, oh, this is good. So as he started introducing, but if he had not had the faith in God, even his own doctor said, and had him schedule an appointment, thanked him for coming, because he said a lot of people, when they hear that diagnosis, when they get an email like that, they put their head in the sand and don't want to go, because it is kind of depressing. It could be depressing, but it was amazing how, even though he could have just thrown in the towel, felt sorry for himself, emotionally he felt that way, but his spirit overcame that. So then when God was able to him, now he's on the other side of it, kind of like the calmness today after that storm. And in fact, that's what I thought about when I saw the storm. I was like, that's what Pastor G just went through this month. And it was in August when it was a time for him to be away from the church. So when you look back on it, live forward, understand backwards, God allowed him to go, but it was his faith that overcame those emotions, and now he's pushing through. And that's what Paul and Silas, they were beat. It wasn't like they were having a good old time in jail. It wasn't like they had a party. It was like you said, when they were beat down, like he said, I'm feeling this way, but I'm trusting God. I'm putting my faith in God. They sang praises to God. They gave glory to God. Then they came on the other side. So I say that to say that, yes, we go through stuff, but if you have that faith is what will carry you through. That faith is what will make you do things when you don't feel, make you eat things that you don't feel like eating, make you drink things. He was a big old Pepsi man. I went to the store and bought 4 liters of Diet Coke. He didn't even like Coke. But so he, of course, like his emotions were like, you know what? This is all the crap Mama have to deal with. I'm trying to live right. This, that, and the other. But God, God, I'm putting my faith in God. So he drank it, and he's like, oh, now he's getting on us because we keep drinking his Diet Coke. You know, it's just like, and the same with other foods, like, you know. But had he not stepped out on faith, had he stayed in that spot, had he stayed in the midst of that tornado, that hurricane, that fire, that storm, he would not have seen the rainbow experience. He would not have seen the calmness of the day. But you can only do that through faith.
Amen. 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 Praise God. And when God gets a hold of it, it's like it's something that takes you beyond yourself, takes you beyond what the eyes can see, and it fills you with that faith. And you know that again, that's what Paul recognized about God, and he became on fire for folks to get saved, and that's what he said in that Romans 1. Chapter 1, verse 16, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so this foundational faith and belief in God is what will reverse the storm, that will calm the sea, that will calm the waves, that will give the mankind the peace that he's looking for. And all over the world, we're looking at the issue with the factions in the Middle East and in that country called Afghanistan, that's surrounded by so many people that are not at peace. I mean, they're in a place where you have so many beliefs and so many people that have so many different customs, and nobody's at peace. Everybody's at war. It's like it's a perpetual war against this one and then against this one. And, you know, then you have countries like Europe, countries like Russia, countries like the United States that think they're going to come in and they're going to bring these people peace. And you're not going to bring them peace. Only God can bring them peace. God has the power to be able to give them what they need. And so generation after generation, decade after decade, year after year, there's war and there's turmoil and there's destruction. And I hate this one and I don't like this one. And this one's not right. And this one's not following God. And this one's not following God. And all of their greed causes them to turn on each other and manipulate each other. And in the end, they still don't have peace. They still don't have what they're looking for. I don't care where you come from around this globe. If you don't have God in your heart, if you don't have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you'll always be in turmoil with your fellow man. And God said, how can you say that you love him? And this is what I look at countries all over the world. How can these people go to church and go to worship and worship whoever they worship and say that they love this God who they cannot see? And some of them make their own gods and statues and idols, but hate your brother who you see daily. And God said all of the commandments in this world, and of the greatest is two, is that you love God and that you love your neighbor. and how can you do that and disrespect your neighbor and disrespect children and disrespect women and have these things that think make you important, think make you empowered, think give you peace, but keep you in turmoil for generation after generation. And so Paul tapped into that and said, it's the power. And so Paul and Silas were in that jail. What happened is they disrupted the financial institute. They disrupted the power of prison, the power of political and the religious leaders at that time, by taking away that almighty dollar. The love of money is the root of all evil. And they took that away and found themselves in a jail in a foreign land. But they found the ability to praise God in spite of, and they got to a place where their faith in God was more powerful than their fear of man. And Paul said, if God be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. And so when God gets people's attention, when that jail broke, when that earthquake shook, when the bands were loosed, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And Paul and Silas says, don't do yourself any harm. And the jailer said, this God that they're talking about before they got arrested must be God. What must I do to be saved? And then the power of God ministered to their hearts. They released Paul and Silas. They washed their wounds. Their whole house was saved. They were baptized. And the peace that they were looking for, Sheila G., the peace that they were looking for, they realized through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sheila G.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. And when you were talking about the financial institute got upset, the government or whatever got upset, we see it's the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun, but that's manpower. That is the power of man. Well, power of man is finite. The power of God is infinite. So they, instead of trying to be people pleasers, if we stay focused on God, that's where the peace comes in. That's where the joy comes in.
There you go.
The problem is too often we want man to make us happy. We want the things of this world to make us happy. We want the houses that we live in, the jobs, the people that we associate with want to make us happy. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. But that's what they were doing. They were not focusing on the finite manpower, but focusing on godly power, staying focused on that. And that's how God was able to bring through and have peace. And that's how we have peace and joy. Let go. Let God. Be controlled by God. Don't focus on the manpower, because that manpower is finite, but the infinite power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And in the end, God, he let those know that were in power, let them know the errors of their way. And so the thing about God is he's not going to have you and point, well, why is all this stuff happening? Why is all this stuff happening? You don't know why. But he'll let you know. And
right.
And so at the end of this, the magistrates and the political leaders, they sent officers to say, well, we didn't mess this thing up. We need to get Paul and Silas out of here, because we didn't mess this thing up. And we're going to send some folk to tell them to go ahead and get out of here. And it's just like the political and the religious leaders of today. The hypocrisy, the ludicrous way they behave when they get jammed up in all of the mess that they've done gets revealed, and then they try to cover it up.
Right.
It's like, you ever seen a dog when he's out and he's doing his business and he get left a big old lump of steaming stuff, and then he gonna walk off and he gonna use his hind leg
to cover it up.
To cover
Still stinks.
and then he walks off like ain't nothing happened, waiting for somebody else to come and clean it up.
That's right.
If you can get that visual, this is what these religious and political leaders do. They go and they leave a pile of heaping stinky stuff. Amen. And then when they get caught, they try to kick it, kick something over it, and leave it for somebody else to deal with. And so when you look at the end of this chapter, you'll see after the jailer and the prisoners and everyone got saved. If we go to Acts 16, verse 38, it says, verse 36. Yeah, verse 35. Okay, verse 35. It says, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. I said, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. They were scared now because the guy, the Paul and Silas, was on the scene.
Yep.
And so they didn't go. They was big and bad, and Paul was a Roman citizen. But they didn't even give him in Rome. Roman citizens have a right to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot imprison them. You cannot convict them. You can't do anything to them until they have a right to be heard. And they didn't even ask them. This is the way man is. They don't care about anything, your rights or your citizenship or anything that gives you the ability to rebut what they're doing. They think just because they don't like what you're doing, they don't care about your rights. They don't care about anything that you do. It's like, I don't like what you're doing. I don't care who you are because I don't like it. It's wrong, and I'm going to do what I want to do to you. And that's just the way man is. And so they say, oh crap, you know, they're like a dog, they the big big smelly, you know, and now, you know, it's smelling and now they covering it up and now they want somebody else to go take care of. And so in verse 35, the magistrate sent the sergeants saying, let those men go. In verse 36 it says, and the keeper for the prisoner told this saying to Paul. So they said, magistrates and sergeants down here said, some stuff, you know, we messed up, but the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Wait a minute, buddy. Wait a minute, your stuff's still stinking. You done messed up. And Paul calls him on it. Paul calls him on it. He in verse 37 he says, the boss said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into the prison. Now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves. In other words, let them come and give an account to clean up their own mess. Don't go hide now.
Yep.
Don't go throwing somebody else out there to clean your mess. Now you come out and you deal with it. Chill G.
Amen. Yeah, and I love it. In the NIV, it says it the same way. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come to themselves and escort us out. Bold. Now, that's Holy Ghost boldness. That is like, you beat me, and now you're scared. Now you're under scared. I tried to tell you. I showed you the power of God, but you thought you were better than God, that you were going to use your little governmental ways because you think you're all-powerful, have your own little insurrection or whatever they call that thing, and throw us in jail to hold us back. Didn't work. You got pushed back. Now you can't show your face. And so now you don't want to have the committee, the subcommittee, to see what happened, how it happened. You're going to send one of your underlings to have us go quietly so you can cover it up so that nobody won't subpoena the records to show how wrong you are. So it's like it's so such a parallel to today. And it was like, bold. no, we still going to do the investigation, except for they, on God's way, is saying, no, we're not going to go away quietly. You want to let us go, you come and you acknowledge the wrong that you did to God.
Amen. In another way, and today is like the country that we live in, of how that they founded this country or built this country on the back of slaves. And now, you know, people are saying, hey, let's bring up the history and let's not get this thing twisted. Now you got folks making laws that you can't teach the history of the country in school. Because it was messed and it's stinking, and now it's getting uncovered, and people don't want to hear that, you know, that the land of the home of the free, land of the home free and brave is what I forget what I think was it Frederick Douglass? They said, what does the 4th of July mean to the Negro? But people don't want to hear that. They don't want to deal with the mess that they're thinking. But the only way that you can really get to a place where you can say that, hey, we've come this far and we recognize the error of our way, is to deal with the error, to deal with the mess. But they don't want to deal with the mess. And then now they will make laws and say, okay, it's thinking, but we won't tell you why it's thinking.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, in our opinion, it ain't thinking at all. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you know, the Bible talks about confession is good for the soul. And what kills me, you know, you got all these folks, you know, they want to talk spiritual stuff. They want to talk a little bit of everything of what you and Sheila have shared. But you're right. You know, this stuff stinks. So they don't know how to come out and be upfront and honest about it and say, look, we made a mistake. We messed up. So you've got these loudmouth folk that continue to double down on the big lie. And all that is doing, you know, with all the stuff that's going on, you know, I was sharing with Sheila, you know, all this abortion stuff, all this mess that Texas is doing about the voting rights, is going to backfire on them because the Lord is not going to allow that to continue on. And what they don't realize, because they figure they have the majority, they can do what they want. But it doesn't work like that. And like you said, you know, at some point the Lord is going to bring all of it to the front.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening more and more. And the more they keep pissing off people, especially women, they're going to find out you better leave them alone.
CLG?
I say, yep, they better leave the women alone. But like you said, with the situation with Paul and Silas, they were bold when they were beaten, and they could beat you down, similar to the slave days. But once you start coming up and God starts bringing you out, then it's like, oh, let's put the genie back in the bottle. Too late now. You just, what you meant for evil, God turned it into good. So you want to put it back, slide, okay, now, okay, I hear you now, go. And it's like, no. That's not how it's going to be. And that's why I say about these people that are doubling down instead of confessing and sussing up and trying to have that peace. Like you said, if you have the peace of the Lord, then everybody needs to get along. But then even now, the evangelicals that were following this crazy theory, they've pulled back, and now God is dividing that part of that religion where you got vaccines. Somebody got fired because they wanted to promote the vaccine and not. So it's like even stirred up in that religious community because they got out of their name. God doesn't want you to be in the magistrate. God wants us to lead the magistrates, not follow the magistrates. And that's what's coming here. Paul and Silas, like, y'all need to get out of that people business and get into the God business, and we're going to show you with Holy Ghost boldness. No. You come and let us out.
And the big thing now that it's coming out is that now they're trying to make laws that come against a teaching that's only taught in certain college settings. Taught in elementary school or primary school. it's taught in certain intellectual settings in college. That's critical, critical race theory, CRT. And it's not even taught. It's something that is taught on higher education level. But they want to try to use this to try to cover up the stink. And you know, there's going to be a big stink about the 27,000 pound statue of a Confederate general in Virginia that they're going to take down. But it's a big, whole nother thing. It's like, well, we this, we that, and we. And you know, and it's like you got to get to a point where, you know, what did it stand for?
Exactly.
You know, you go back and you learn the history, and the old saying is if you don't learn from it, you're gonna repeat it, and you have to understand that if you messed up, you fess up, you can make progress. And so Paul and told them, you know, go tell them folk, you know, especially, you know, that they messed up that, you know, it was a Roman people that were beating the Roman people and that without a just trial. And you know, you call yourself being of the law and you messing the law up yourself. And so that's the hypocrisy. That is the that is the thing that people don't realize, that ultimately God will reveal who you are. He'll reveal, you know, what's done in dark will come in the light.
Come
and the hypocrisy of mankind is terrible. And so Paul says, y'all need to come and fess up. So in verse 39, he says, and they came and sought them and brought them out and desired them to part out of the city. In other words, they came, it's, hey, you know, it's a bit misunderstanding, you know, can y'all leave now?
They got egg on
it. Right. But hypocrisy is they'll probably turn back around and do the same dumb stuff.
Right.
And people will follow the same dumb stuff. But in verse, and so, The only way they'll do right is when they get caught. And it's the same thing, religious and politicians and people around the world. Only way you're going to do right is until you get caught. And the only way that you can do right is once you recognize the error of your way is ask God to come into your heart. And then you won't go back to those things. But if you don't ask God to come in and take on his spirit and his ways, you'll go back to those same things. And so they asked him to leave. And in verse 40, he says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And so where they started off at the house of Lydia, beginning of chapter 16, that's where they went back. And their mission for this area was complete. And they fellowship with them, and they went forth to the next mission. But but that's the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs of being a servant of God, relying on His service. That you don't know going in, and it's a lot of ups and the downs, and a lot of fighting, a lot of struggle. But in the end, God will get the glory. And he'll through that test, you'll have a testimony, and you'll be in strengthened and empowered to go on to the next mission. Sheila G, just about out of time.
Then it just reminds us of that story that Ma, and I think you used to say it as well, you're either on your way to the storm, in the storm, or coming out of the storm. But through it all, consistent, you, no matter what your circumstance, you, whether, you know, you could be content in whatever, whether it's a good, whether it's a storm, whether it's without the storm, as long, you know, knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if you keep hold on to his faith and hold on to the strength that he gives you, regardless of where you are on that spectrum of that, the ups and downs of life, you can get through, and you will. That test will turn into a testimony.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to flip that question around that we had last week. We're going to flip it around to this week. Last week you asked, has the Lord ever sent someone to help you? And we're going to ask the question this week, has the Lord ever sent you to help someone else? We're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 1741, 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I feel like the Lord has sent me to help. There have been many situations where he has sent me to. Some of them I wanted to go to, and some of them I didn't want to go to. I got questioned. But once I got there, I realized that it was for God's glory. We don't always be sent to places that we want to go or comfortable situations. But when we, you know, make a commitment to the Lord that we will do, you know, we at least we try to do, try to go. And so, yes, and I have seen people be blessed, but truly I've seen myself be blessed sometimes.
Amen.
Like I often share with people when we go to the nursing home, a lot of times, you know, we get feel like, we are more blessed than the people. You know, we get the blessing when we go there to, you know, to serve them. And sometimes, you know, you go and you really don't feel up to going physically, you know. But once you get there, you're so blessed, you know.
Amen.
You see the spirit of the other people. They sitting there waiting to hear from God, and it's just a joy to see
Amen.
That. And so I've been to quite a few places that I feel like the Lord has sent me to go, and I'm grateful that, you know, that he did, because it was a truly a spiritual blessing. And I just want to share that leaving Canaan and coming to the heart of God. For
Amen.
Me,
Amen.
That truly was a spiritual blessing. And I was sharing with somebody about that this week. We were talking about that because I had been at Canaan a very long time. And I was sharing with them that I didn't make that move till like I was in my 60s. And I told them, I said, I'm not a person that that do a lot of changes. And I was sharing the show. I said, I'm so routine into the fact that I don't even hardly move furniture around in my house. So for me to go and, you know, and leave somewhere where I had been and knew and go to somewhere that was so different. But I just felt in my heart that this is where God was sending me. This is where he wanted me to be. And I never regret it. I don't regret
Amen.
It. I just thank Amen. God for the opportunity to serve and to be of service. I'm grateful for that opportunity. So, it has helped me tremendously. I feel like I have helped other people.
Amen.
But I know it has helped me to grow. I do know that. It has helped me to grow. So I just pray that God would keep me humble and meek and let me see what he want me to do. You know, as I get older, I question some of the things I used to do, I can't do, so I question. But I'm just trusting God. I'm just trusting God.
Amen.
And I know I've been experiencing a memory thing. You know, I've been going through that for years. And it kind of bothers me. And I pray and I ask the Lord to help me. And so even when I get to the point that the memory is not, you know, good the way that I need it to be, I've asked the Lord to help me, show me something else I can do.
Amen.
Where he can get
Amen.
The glory, where I can help
Amen.
Somebody else. So as long as I live, I want to be of service to him in some kind of way. If it's no more than just encouraging somebody. Because as we
Amen.
Age and as our body age, you know, different. We play different roles in ministry, and it comes a time when we're just a counselor, we're just a mentor to somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. So if, when it comes that day, I pray that God will help me that I'll be able to help somebody as long as He's getting the glory. That's the most important thing.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. And go to our next. We'll do the 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes. I know that the Lord is sending me help, and I believe it. I'm just so happy that He's given me a different frame of mind, a different way of thinking of things, a different way of just being able to trust in Him, because I know the help that I get is from Him, and I know that I don't have to know Him. I don't have to be affiliated with Him for years, but you just know when the Lord sends you help, and I just wait on Him and trust in Him and believe in Him. And
amen.
I want to, just like Reverend Lindsay just finished saying, as long as I live, I want to be in service to do something for the Lord, He'll glory, and to do something for others. And He's shown me that new life. He's given me a whole new life. So I'm welcoming everything, you know, that is of God. And you know when it's of God. Yes, because He helps me daily, very much daily. And I appreciate Him. I talk to Him. I wait on Him. I ask Him to help me, to order my steps. And I'm just so thankful to be in the service of the Lord. Yes. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And it goes to our next caller. Last 4 days is 8760. 8760. Good evening. That's me listening in. We're going to go to our next call. Last 4 digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Definitely an excellent question. For me, it was a different experience. You know, I think at a portion of my life, my Christian journey, I've always had people coming to help me, pray for me, kind of help me along the way. But then when I got to a point where God, you know, started to utilize me to go in certain situations, I had to kind of take myself out of it. I think one of you touched on it, like, it's not going to always be the perfect situation. Sometimes you're going to be tired. You're going to be worn out. You're like, God, what about me? Now I'm being called, you know, to help somebody else. But I realized that sometimes our mindset is, if we're going to go help somebody else, we're already at this level. We're now bringing somebody else along. But what I realized, by me helping somebody else out, I'm still learning. I gained something from that situation. It's not just necessarily helping somebody out, helping them along, reaching out to them, but it's like I find out something about myself. I've learned something. I've actually changed from that moment. So it's like even when God sends you to help or to save somebody, in essence, you're kind of helping and saving yourself, if I'm kind of making sense. And I'll share a quick story with you, you know, not to go into too much detail, but I had a situation. We all been there and got people talking about you on the job. And lo and behold, I took, hey, God, this is you fighting my battle. So guess who I see stranded on the side of the road in the rainstorm with the car broke down? So I'm like, yeah, God, that's what I'm talking about. I got something to talk about next Thursday about how God, you know, gets my enemy. I was waiting for that question. Sidebar, that question never came. But I'm sitting there like, all right. So I drove by. I even tried to kick up a little water, you know, hit him on the but the person never saw me. I tried. I ain't going to lie. I tried. We being honest. I tried to kick up a little, rev it up a little bit as I'm going through the puddle, but the person never saw me. Not one moment after I crossed that intersection in that light, I felt like I just felt God calling me like, that ain't right. You know, that's not how you are. Like, this ain't you. Whatever.
Yeah.
And guess what I did? I went up to that U-turn sign and made a U-turn, and it took – listen, let me tell you something. That's one of those moments where you know Jesus is real, because it was nothing but Jesus that made me put that left signal on and make that U-turn.
I know that's right.
And go back around. And look, I'll be the first to tell you, I ain't had no flares. I ain't had no know how to change no tire, nothing. But I told that brother, hey, come on, sit in my car. And I had this brother sit in my car, and we waited for help to arrive before the tow company came and his ride came and rode off with him. And I can tell you honestly, I was helping that brother out. But let me tell you something. You want to talk about patience and forgiveness and learning about yourself. And it's like, and you know, you think those things where you're like, man, if I could just have 5 minutes with this person alone, I had an hour with this person alone, and I ain't think about none of that stuff I said before that day. How you doing? You all right? It's going to be okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't come to find out through that dialogue. I started to realize, this person's hurt. This person's going through things in life.
Yeah.
So I started to realize, maybe I was just a coping mechanism because, you know, that whole misery loves company. So I'm like, well, maybe this explains why they're not just talking about me, but they talk about others, and they come into work so bitter. Because it's like, if your personal life is like this, as we all know, a lot of people bring that stuff into the workplace. So I'm judging you, but that ain't really you. That's just you acting out on what's going on in your family life, your personal life, finances, whatever. So pinned up energy and anger I had, I'm helping this brother out, but I honestly think I got more from the lesson than the person I helped out. But I swore if I had 5 minutes with that person, God only knows what I was going to do. And there I am, an hour with this person, an hour plus. We talking about God, I'm talking about whatever. It's almost like whatever. But like I said, I literally was pulled and drawn to go help that person out, even after I knew they talked about me. I never had said two words to the person. I was confused, like, do I know this person? Like, why are they talking so bad about me? But in that instance, God draw me and said, you're going to help that young man out. I didn't know what was going to happen from it, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made because I learned about forgiveness. You start learning, like, okay, don't just look at the outcome, but try to find out what's actually wrong with the person. I think so many times we judge them on the action. The question we should ask is, well, how did they get to this point? How can we figure out how to tackle the root of the problem so that way you're not judging somebody based off the action and how they are? But that was the lesson that I learned. So, you know, God calls us to help people out, and we allow God to utilize us in so many ways. But don't think for a minute that if God calls you to be a blessing to somebody and help somebody, that there lies within itself a lesson or something you can learn about yourself from that experience. So, you know, I truly thank God. Me and this person have a great relationship. Look, I gained a friend in addition to finding out things about myself. You know, I'm still trying to baby steps introduce this person, spoon feed him a little bit about God, but I ultimately think this person's going to come around. But, you know, I never thought in a million years I'd be pulling up on the side of the road and letting this individual in my car with a broke down car in a rainstorm. I thought God was turning it around for me. Like, don't worry, I'll take care of your enemies. But I caught myself. You know what I'm saying? God wasn't working out like that. God was like, this is about you. Even though you're going to help this person out, you have much to gain in this situation. But, you know, I truly thank God. I think sometimes we try to think that God, like we can try to think for God, but it's kind of that lean not to your own understanding. But I never would have thought that I would have gained and learned so much about that individual, and most importantly, also learned so much about myself and the true power and wisdom of God. So that's my little testimony this evening. But great question. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. Amen. I like that, brother. Amen. Got that bug that Paul got, Dr. G, where Lord put in his spirit that he wasn't shamed in the gospel. And we thank God, amen, for those who are not ashamed. And in spite of the situations, they can trust God to get them to push through those situations. Dr. G, any final comments and close out with prayer?
Well, the only final comment I would make, you know, ever since I've been in the ministry, my mindset, my motto has always been, if I can help somebody, then my living is not in vain. And I've tried to live my life by that and learn from it. Because the Lord, as we said earlier, you know, the Lord calls us for purposes that we just don't understand all the time. And we have to be obedient. We may not like it, but we still have to go forth and do what he say do. With that, let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening in your word. Lord, we thank you for what we've had a chance to discuss and talk about. Father, we pray right now that you would help us to continue to grow in your spirit and learn to be about a good work for you. Father, we thank you for letting us be instruments that you can use to do your bidding. Lord, help us now that as we go, you would go with us. Lord, we ask these and all other blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.